There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. I would like to, first of all, though, before we get in, and my friend Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins us in just a second. But before we go any further, it is a Friday. It is the day that people plan things for next week, right? Oh, I got to make an appointment to do this, that, or the other. All right, so if you're, you know, there's that thing you got to do. You got junk you got to get rid of at your house, maybe the office, a storage unit you pay on every month, and you don't even know what's in there. It's junk, but you're just like, I can't get around to it. Well, get you around to it and get an appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Now, that's my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 16-plus years in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. And the process, yeah, it's real easy. Make that appointment. And you can do it today, make it for next week, right? Or when it works out for you, because that's what they actually do. They make appointments, like they find a day that works for you, a time of day that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. You can do that by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And whether it be a bunch of things in your house that need out or things around your house or at the office, wherever, you got junk, you need it gone, you need my friend Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, without further delay, let's do this. The crowd goes wild for Erica Thomas from 1819 News. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's good. It's Friday, right? It's Friday, and you know, you being a South Baldwin person, you've got, what, another 30 or 40,000 people coming to crowd South Baldwin for the weekend, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I will probably be indoors, so that's okay.
I was going to do that. There's kind of a transition into one of your stories I want to talk about today that's up over at 1819 News is this was passed. We talked about it, and maybe, I don't know if you and I talked about it, but I talked about it some then, and then it kind of just went in the back seat, so to speak. But as of tomorrow, Alabama's hands-free law goes into effect. This is going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people. So tell me about what the hands-free law is, I guess, the purpose of it, and what truly is hands-free? How am I legal?
Okay, so the hands-free law is something that a lot of people think we already have in Alabama because a lot of municipalities already have passed ordinances. And the hands-free law is basically don't text and drive, don't surf the internet while you're driving. But it is a secondary infraction, so you have to break another law before you can get in trouble for this statewide law. So maybe you don't use your turn signal or you cross over the center line because you're texting. And then if police see you do that, they can actually write you a ticket for that now.
Now, do they have to, okay, so they have to physically, like, see you, like the officer goes, okay, look at that person, they have their phone in their hand, and then they do something else, you know, that would be a secondary. Or if they, I mean, there's no, they don't have the right to, like, take the phone, right, and see if somebody was on it or something like that, or they have to actually witness it with their eyes?
Yeah, they're not going to take your phone. Typically, people are pretty honest. That's what law enforcement told me. So if they suspect that you were doing that, they're going to ask you. If they happen to see your phone, if it's on a mount and there's text messages up that are active, that's enough evidence to give you a ticket. Of course, with any ticket, you can fight it. You can, you know, try to.
Okay,
get
but
it.
if it's on that mount, right, and there's text messages up, the phone's lit up, but you weren't responding to them. Is it just that it's because at that point it's hands free if it's on a mount? If you didn't respond, I guess they. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not trying to parse this, but I am trying to parse this out. What is actually the law?
Yeah, I was trying to do that too, and trying to really talk to law enforcement about how in the world are you going to enforce this law, because it seems like, that would be a very difficult thing to do. And that's when the police officer I spoke to said, you know what, usually it's pretty obvious, you know, there's evidence that you have that somebody was texting. But even if not, they're going to typically say, yeah, I picked up my phone. But there are a couple of reasons why you can touch your phone while you're driving. And I thought that was interesting.
Okay. What can you do? Yeah. What are you allowed to do?
Well, you can use your Bluetooth technology, you know, and you would remain hands-free. You won't have it in your hand. You can also answer your call with a single button or the swipe action. So if you get a phone call, you can still answer your phone. You just need to, you don't need to keep your hand in your phone. You need to put it down so you can put it on your Bluetooth and still talk to people.
Okay, so yeah, the phone's ringing, and you, whether it's linked in through the vehicle and you touch something on that screen or you touch the phone to answer the call, you're okay at that point.
Yes, and I will say I have a 1997 Honda Accord, and so obviously it doesn't have Bluetooth capabilities. So what I did is I went on Amazon, and I got like a $15 little gadget that you plug into, I don't know what we always called the cigarette lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your radio station on the same frequency as that gadget, and it puts the Bluetooth capability into your older car. So no matter what car you have, you could, if you have a cigarette lighter or an auxiliary cable, you can get those really cheap. So that way you have extra protection. You can still communicate with people while you're driving, although I don't recommend it.
Now, it harkens back to, you know, because I'm an old person, as you remind everybody, harkens back to the time when we first got CD players, and they were, like, separate from the vehicle. They had, like, the Sony had a Discman or something like that, and you would have a cord that came out of the Discman that's playing the CD. Now, nobody could even look at the Discman or it would skip, but you had a cord that came out of it, and then into our vehicles we had cassette players, and it was shaped like a cassette, and you push it in there and had the wire that was connected to the CD player. That was that's how we did that back then.
Yeah, I actually had one of those, and also they have Bluetooth devices that use the cassette player if your vehicle still has a cassette tape player.
If you're that person out there, so it's good news for you. So this is, now, once again, like you did point out, that municipalities have, gosh, I think it's been, whatever, five years ago or something, I first started hearing about municipalities with the hands-free law, but this is now statewide. This law is in effect as of tomorrow.
And even when these municipalities started passing these ordinances, some police officers voiced concerns about how to enforce the law just because it is so difficult. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Really, the purpose of this whole thing is to save lives. There's been an estimated 3,308 people killed in crashes caused by distracted driving. That doesn't always mean you had a phone in your hand. Maybe you were eating your taco going down
the road. Thank you for saying that, because I've pointed that out in the past. That's why I just thought the total law shouldn't have been texting and driving. It should just be distracted driving, because I don't care if you hit me or my family. If you're digging for a French fry that fell under your seat, you're still distracted.
Yes. I mean, I've even had it to where I had to slam on my brakes and my water bottle came out of my cup holder and into the floorboard. And that was very scary, because I was like, well, if it rolls under my brake pedal, I'm not going to be able to brake. So it was an emergency for me to just pull over as quick as I could without letting that water bottle slide under there. But, you know, that's why it's important to think before you go. Before you even crank your car, make sure everything's in place and in a safe area where you can reach with the things that you need. And just try to really pay attention, because, you know, if you hit somebody head on because you dropped your phone or something, I mean, you're going to live with that forever. So let's think about other people for a little bit.
100%.
And try to be safe.
One of the stories you posted up earlier this week had so many people chattering just because of the headline or the subject matter. It was like, oh my gosh, it's this, that, or the other. And then you asking the questions and doing the stories at 1819. Explain to people that just heard a headline or a cursory understanding of what happened in Baldwin County with the libraries. Was this, you know, with this firing that went on? Can you give us what's real here?
Yeah, I really did have a lot of comments on this story. People assume that this was because of the situation that's been going on statewide, started in Prattville and moved its way down to Baldwin County to several libraries. But over the inappropriate material in children's and teen sections. But really, the Baldwin County Commission, they sent out an alert earlier this week saying the Baldwin County Library Cooperative laid off or fired every bit of its staff. And so, of course, at first glance, people are thinking that, it was over this material issue because that's been the big talker.
Right.
But according to Commissioner Billy Joe Underwood, that is not the case. This is, has to do with an organizational issue that they've been working on for a while now. And so we still don't know the details about why these people were fired or why the cooperative made that decision, the board. But Underwood told me that the board just went rogue when they made this decision. They didn't have any conversations with commissioners about what they were going to do or why they were going to do it. But I mean, it is stated it's their that's part of their job is to hire and fire. So I feel like they had every right to make this call. We're just really not sure exactly why.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you fire everybody one time. It's got to be something big, maybe, I guess. You know, it's, that was significant when it came out that there's this mass firing. I said, well, what the heck was going on then?
Yeah, and there was a, they have two different departments. They have like their finance department and then they have their administration. So these positions included the library director, the tech services, assistant library director, all the way down to the bookmobile driver. And
yeah, I mean, the bookmobile driver, really, Erica? The bookmobile? I mean, come on.
Yeah, really. I mean, you can't even get, you can't even get the books and the bookmobile going. But Underwood also pointed out, you know, this cooperative is not the library. It's a service that supports libraries within member libraries, you know. So there's all kinds of services that they offer, and that includes when you go online and you search the catalogs. They do all of that. And then they have the courier service where if your book is at the Fairhope Library and you want it brought to the Foley Library, you can go on there and request them to bring it. And they usually do within a day or two, but not right now.
So is there a what's next on this when we're going to find out more, or is that it? Is that all they're telling?
There's definitely going to be a what's next. The commission staff is working with all the library directors to kind of figure out what to do. They just didn't want a lot of disruption in these joint library services. So they're currently working on that. They're working on a plan. And hopefully they'll have, you know, the staff brought back or new staff hired very soon.
All right. Erica, people want to read more about this. Tell them where to go. Tell them about 1819 News.
Well, I would love for you guys to go to 1819news.com and check out all of our stories. But I have one special story coming out tomorrow with Outdoor Jay, which I heard on the radio. And so we're going to see his story tomorrow.
All right. Dalton, if you're listening, Outdoor Jay is going to make 1819 News. Erica, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There she goes. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Friday style, Midday Mobile. We'll get back to the text messages in a second. Also, John Sharp on the way later on this hour. Right now, my man David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars looking ahead at this weekend. Let's talk inventory.
Hey, bud. Yeah, we've got a great inventory, and we are leaving Monday, going down and seeing if we can buy some more. You know, last couple of times we went down, we bought 24 one time, 22 the second time. So we'll see how many we bring back this week. Right now, I'm sitting here talking to an old buddy of mine from high school, Gary Robinson. He's fixing to buy him a new truck. His wife don't know nothing about it. So we'll see what happens there.
Now you outed him. You know, but somebody's looking for a vehicle specifically. I know you've done this for me before. When you go down, whether you know, you're taking these trips, somebody can call you ahead of time and say, hey, they're looking for a such and such, and you can go scout it for them.
Absolutely. And if you want to do that, it doesn't matter, you know, 24 hours a day, you can text us from our website. We may not answer it 24 hours a day, but I'll at least have that the next morning provided to me. And if you're looking for something in particular, let us know, because we're going to be down there where everything's at. They're all nice. They're all looked at and inspected, and they'll be ready to go when we get them back.
Yeah, y'all, it's pretty cool because I've done it before with David, and he'll be like, okay, well, here's one here, you know, looking for the truck I end up getting, but one like it. And he said, okay, how about this one? You're like, yeah, no, not this one. What about this one? I mean, you give a selection. I love it, man. It's a great service.
It's easy to do, and we can email you all kinds of little selections if we're not in the house. If I'm out of town, I can still email you stuff and you can check it out.
All right, good stuff. Tell people how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Let us know if we can help you. We got pictures of everything on inventory right now, too. We updated all that yesterday.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, you too. There's David McCrary checking in from LCM Motorcars. Let's see here. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I missed some... somebody had texted when I was talking to Senator Britt, how does she feel about civil asset forfeiture? I don't know how I could, I mean, be frank with you, the senator had some things to say. It's been a while since she's been on the show, so I don't know that I could have even gotten to that. But I like talking about civil asset forfeiture. I mean, I don't like it, so if that tells you where I am on it. Jerry says, we've had private businesses stolen from owners right here along the Mobile River. I would love to hear what Ralph from Starfish and Oyster would have to say about this situation. Oh, yeah, you're talking about comparing what happened in the condemning process, right? The which is another one that's kind of like civil asset forfeiture when you use eminent domain for projects. You know, there are some very narrow places where I agree that you can use eminent domain, but it's not nearly as broad, Jerry, in my opinion, as the government uses it. There's some great, we've talked about the Kelo case and all that before on the show, with Kelo versus New London, Connecticut. That was a heck of a story there as well. But in the case, I've said the whole time of the story from Mexico, they make their own, they're a sovereign nation. They make their own laws. At the same time, I would just use the money we give other countries to get leverage. Just like I said about Israel and Egypt and bringing supplies in, I would say the same thing to Mexico. You want to do this and you want to seize this property for much less than they think it's worth? Well, you've got a right to do that. And we also have a right to, you know, not give you money for this or not work with you on this other deal. Let's see here. Senator Britt wants to speak with the manager. Joshua says, you and Erica Thomas make a good DJ duo, just throwing that out there. TGIF to you as well. Our friend Jolene from the Jolene Roxbury Hour, you can hear on the weekends here at FM Talk 106.5, is asking a question for a friend. Her friend Earl T, who you hear on the show, wants to know more about these joint library services. Tell Earl T to sit back down and calm himself. I don't know where in the Dewey Decimal System he would find his joint library services. Okay, thank you. Unnamed texter here said, Sean, the Baldwin County story is in Lanyap. I got to go check it out on the website. They did a mass firing because the county was going to be taking over the employees soon and had plans to fire them with no severance. So the board went ahead and fired them so the employees could get severance, and the employees were given a heads up, according to the article. Thank you, texter, for that information. I appreciate that. Because it seemed it is interesting how we get trained, right? Because if you hear library, you think it's one thing these days. Not in the past, but over the last year or so, it's all since the Prattville Library and the question about materials in the library. So in the past, if you heard there's a mass library firing, I don't know what you would have thought or I would have thought, but it wouldn't have been for that, right? It's funny, there's so many things in the news cycle, and then you put two and two together. You make a correlation, and we all do it. It's a human nature, but we do have to fight against that. When you see something, you assume prejudicially that it means this. Sometimes you got to slow yourself down enough to see, you know, what it really means. This texter says, I still have no idea what law Trump broke. Here's what they're saying, you know, I never got a chance really to ask the senator. I know that Congressman Carl this morning talked about two-tier justice, and so did the senator. Here's my interpretation right now of two-tier justice. It's not in the jury proceedings, right? And what the judge did. I mean, you could talk about that, how you don't like that politically. And I can understand that. I think the two tier to me is this person over here is doing this thing and doesn't get prosecuted for it. Heck, they didn't even want to prosecute at first Trump for this until he was running for office. So that's my two tier. It's almost two tier prosecution versus standard of justice. Like when you prosecute one and not the other for something. They said he was guilty for falsifying business records, which a lot of people are saying is something that's going on a lot, and those people aren't getting prosecuted. All right, we're coming back. John Sharp joins us next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, boogity, 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 let's go. It's Friday-style Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. 343-0106, 343-0106. Or always, remember, in addition to texting and calling from the FM Talk 106.5 app, those of y'all that are running that app, you can also use it to send us one of those talkback messages. So let you record a message, and when you press send, it emails it to me. I can play it back here on the show, and you can have another way to get in touch with us. So enjoy that, right? Maybe you have a little time over the weekend. Download the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right. So maybe not nationally, but this story I think has legs like the Trump story does nationally, maybe here at home. And it is a story that my friend and I, John Sharp from AL.com, and I have been talking about. John, how long have we been talking about Amtrak in Mobile?
Well, I think you mentioned that you asked this question of Bill Dave yesterday. I think goes back for him 4 to 5 years. This goes back a decade or longer. It's been a story since 2005 when Hurricane Katrina knocked out any kind of passenger rail along the Gulf Coast. So it's a long time.
Okay. So with that, we've watched this thing come and go. For a while there, it seemed like when you remember you had the test ride and you did, or the whatever there was, they took the folks like you went on the train, did the ride. It was like, this thing's going to happen at any point. That was 3 years ago, right? Or more. I mean, it's been long drawn out.
Well, yeah, the pandemic really played a role in this. I mean, the city council last time we voted on the operation subsidy, which is the same exact amount in February of 2020. Literally within a month and a half, maybe, and that's when the pandemic began. And so I think there was a viewpoint that the train service would be restored shortly after the city council voted last time on it. And here we are, over 4 years later. Yep. So, so it's been pushed back, and there's been a lot that's been going on, behind the scenes, not in the city of Mobile with this project, but in Washington, D.C., especially.
So one of the things here on the funding for this project that I think is of note and interesting, you got the other states, Louisiana, Mississippi. The states have put the money in. In the case of Alabama, the state, and you and I talked about that over time, was not putting money in. And that, to me, seemed to be, I think you reported on it, was caught up with the fact that, we're a freight port, and CSX was saying, hey, we can't have Amtrak here on the tracks we're trying to move freight on, right? And that was a thing that they had to negotiate, but it seemed like they came to an agreement on this.
That's correct. It's part of a case that's been wrapped up before the U.S. Surface Transportation Board, again, in Washington, D.C., and there's been some well-covered, I think, hearings over the years in regards to this case. There was a well-publicized, a lot of attention paid on this project before the STB back in 2022. And what happened, well, we got to this point where there was an agreement, the Alabama State Port Authority, they were very adamantly opposed to this project. So was CSX and then Norfolk Southern, which they own part of the rail line in the Louisiana, CSX owning the rest of it. And so what had happened is, they were all very opposed to it. You got this case going on that Amtrak brought forward to the Surface Transportation Board, very rare thing, national attention paid to it because whatever ruling could be approached by the Surface Transportation Board could affect, the relationship between freight and passenger rails throughout the country. There's a viewpoint on that. And ultimately what happened is there was a settlement agreement in this dispute, and it was finalized in November of 2022. It was described at the time as a confidential agreement. Of course, nobody said to release any details about it. And that kind of languished to this point. So, that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, but if that was, and I don't know if it ever was reported, I think I know, but that the reason the state did not offer money for this project was because of that, because right. this question about the freight, right?
Yeah, the state had been opposed, and you know, that was quite illustrative in the public hearings too. Pretty much everybody that spoke from Alabama, I think there was only one Alabama speaker that spoke in favor of the project. But so there was a lot of opposition because there was concern about adding extra passenger rail trains to the rail line that would gum up the activity at the state docks. And so there's a lot of concerns about that. And apparently those were resolved as a result of this CRISI grant, this federal grant administered through the Federal Railroad Administration that was officially awarded in September of last year, around about $178 million. And of that money, approximately $70 to $72 million, I believe, is going to the state of Alabama for capital infrastructure improvements. That amount of money, as my understanding, played a large role in the port, you know, changing its viewpoint on this project. It's a huge capital expenditure that would go to them or to the rail, to making rail improvements in the state of Alabama, not necessarily within the in the port itself, but you know, basically from Alabama Mississippi line into downtown Mobile.
Well, there should. So, I mean, I'm jumping to conclusions, but that's what I do. So, there should not be. There shouldn't be any objection from the state putting money in now, right? From Montgomery, well, not from Mobile.
Right. It seems like this process is. Yeah, I'm not sure who, when these conversations started, why they didn't start earlier, perhaps. But where we're at right now is there are conversations going on. The governor's office all but confirmed that the other day. That there are conversations going on with the governor's office and Mayor Stinson. Now, where those are at right now, I don't know. You know, if there is going to be a subsidy or an appropriation from the state to the city, it seems like some things may be getting a little backwards here because the state legislature just signee-died not too long ago. And right before they signee-died, they voted on a budget. And so the budget has been voted on. And so I don't know where the $3.048 million would come from unless, you know, we wait until the next.
Governor's got that under the mattress. She's got some stashed under the mattress at the mansion.
Well,
come
I mean,
on.
I maybe. I don't know. And that's a good question. It's a good question to ask how you come up with the money. It's not, you know, from the state of Alabama, one would think it's not huge. But I'm sure there's other folks in the state that would look at that money and think, we could use that for our area. So, yeah, it seems like a budgetary issue, but we're not in the budget season. We've recently finished that. So the timing is askew on this. And so I would be interested to see where we go with this, like how the governor and Mayor Stinson's conversations go and where we're at with that process. And that's where we're at. It's not, you know, the governor's office didn't slam the door on this. I didn't, you know, I know that Mobile's wanting state to, you know, some of the city council members want the state to provide the funding for this. And in the past, the governor has not expressed much interest, both Governor Ivey and former Governor Robert Bentley, it goes back to him as well, have not expressed a lot of interest in supporting this project. But the game changer is what Mayor Stinson used that quote, the game changer is this CRISI grant that would infuse all this capital expenditure, federal money, not, you know, federal money into improving the rail lines in Alabama. And you're probably not going to see $72 million coming into Mobile County anytime soon. So that's,
well, and
that's
$3 million, so $3 million gets you $72 million, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it from the state level. I mean, $3 million down to Mobile gets you $72 million for the whole thing.
And that's the argument that, you know, Councilman Corey Penn made. He's just like, well, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? But, you know, the argument is, should that $3.048 million over 3 years, that, you know, starts at $500,000, goes to $1 million to $1.5 million, should that be coming out of the Mobile City coffers versus the state of Alabama's budget?
No, it should come out of Montgomery money. Yeah, come on,
yeah,
man.
We've gone over this. Oh, yeah, so that's the issue right now. That's where we're at. And it's, you know, the ball is really in the mayor's hands right now in his discussions with the governor's office. Questions even come up whether or not the county, because, you know, this is not all, you know, should the county be a participant if we're going to look at an intergovernmental agreement? But I haven't heard anything along those lines, and the county has not been approached either. So right now it looks like, you know, it's a conversation for Mayor Stimson with Governor Ivey's office.
The second part of that, John, that concerned me, and I am, you know, I've said it the other day, you know, I've talked about it over time. I'm not anti-train. I think it's really, really cool. But I am anti-ongoing debt, right? For the city, I see what it's done to us over time. That was my worry when Councilman Dave said, because I could even square around, let's say, and I think Montgomery should give the $3 million, not the city, but let's say $3 million's allocated. That's one thing. You could say, all right, $3 million. We'll bring in, you know, there are all the projections for how many people come in and all these things. Okay, maybe that's worth risking $3 million. But Councilman Dave's talked about, let's say in year 4, 5, 6, whatever, going forward then, that there would be any deficits that we're seeing, you know, for operating Amtrak out of here would be on the city to pay for it. And I think that is what has me scared.
Well, if the city decides to write the, you know, underwrite the $3.048 million itself.
Or even the state, you know, if they did it, it's just this whole thing that it wasn't just $3 million and then nothing. It's like $3 million then if you, then in year four, it was running at a deficit. Who pays for it?
Well, the risk would go into the state's hands. It would not go back to the cities, is my understanding. If the state decides to spend this to subsidize the first 3 years, there wouldn't even be a vote on the city council. The vote for the city would be on the lease agreement. Mm-hmm. For the train stop. And from my understanding, if there is another entity that provides the money for the subsidy of the for the operations, the city would be willing to most likely be willing to vote on the lease agreement.
I don't think that's a big risk. And am I missing something? But I mean, to me, that doesn't seem like a big risk, because if it doesn't work, then you just take the lease back. I mean, I don't know why that one doesn't seem very contentious to me, but maybe I'm missing something.
No, you're correct. That's exactly the way it's being laid out, is that the lease would, you know, that this is not, you know, the city giving the property over to Amtrak, but it's a city property. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, the depots close down and you move on. But and I don't see that as being an issue either. But my understanding is that if the state pays, is willing to fork over the $3 million over 3 years, or another entity, for instance, unless the city is, my understanding, there's no vote on year 4, 5, or 6 yet. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't want to speak for the council members, but they could come back and say, well, what about 4, 5, and 6? Will this be on us to vote for mm-hmm. after the service has started? And that's probably worth a conversation, but when you're not in, you know, I think the risk would be on the state's shoulders if they're willing to pony up the first 3 years of it. You know, that doesn't automatically go to the city of Mobile, then, is my understanding. But that's, a lot of this is hypothetical. We don't know if the state's going to, you know,
right,
be willing to invest yet or not. Again, right now, all we know is that the mayor and the governor's office are in conversations on this project, and that's probably, for people that are supportive of this Amtrak route, that's probably a lot more progressive or more progress than we've seen on this than, let's say, 2 years ago when there was pretty much uniform opposition.
Well said. We'll be watching your reporting on it, that and a whole lot more. People want to follow what you're doing. How do they find you?
Well, I'm on X at JohnSharp99.
All right, John, as always, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, John. Thanks.
All right. There goes my friend John Sharp from AL.com. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. It is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And as we look into the weekend and look to the month of June that starts tomorrow in July, let's get some gift ideas from our friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Anna.
Hi, Sean.
So we've got a couple things here. First, we got June, you know, the dads and grads, right? So we got dads and grads, and then all the coolest people have birthdays in June and July, too. So help me out with gift ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, June is pretty popular month for birthdays, and so is July. June's birthstone is pearls, and we do have a lot of pearl jewelry, you know, rings, earrings, necklaces, even some vintage pieces that you don't see very often, like an 18-karat yellow gold.
Now, let's go ahead.
Yeah, and for July, there's rubies. And I do have a pair of beautiful ruby studs right now, but I'm keeping an eye on myself. You know, it's not my first doll, but it's so pretty.
Okay, so I mean these are, when you say studs, that you get that's earrings, right? I mean, I'm a guy. You got to translate for me.
Yes. Okay. Those are earrings. So, they're little round shaped stones.
I like it. Let's also talk about if you're looking for engravables. Y'all still getting people in there for, I mean, I guess some people are still graduating, or you might have some people go, oh, yeah, I forgot, and I'm going to see them over the summer. I need to take them something.
Yeah, absolutely. The American Silver Eagle, the 2024, is a great gift. We can do a custom engravable for birthdays or graduation, or, you know, dad's gift for Father's Day. You can have the back or the front engraved, depending on the style. And if you're looking for jewelry, we do have even brand names like Judith Ripka and Pandora, you know, charms and necklaces and things like that.
Now, we often talk about open-L knives for, I pointed out, like for Mother's Day or for these people who wouldn't think they'd be a perfect gift for mom, which it is, but it's a slam dunk for Father's Day. I mean, there's not a dad out there that doesn't want a great knife, and you got them with open-L.
Oh, yeah, and they stay sharp for a long time. I have one that I use all the time on the daily to open boxes and packaging and stuff, and it stays sharp. And we also have the sheaths that they go into now as well. So you can get a knife and you can get a sheath so it can go on the belt or wherever they want to choose to store it.
Good stuff. Tell people how to find you. Check out these gift items.
Yes, sir. We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School.
All right. Thank you, Anna. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right. There goes Anna. Let's grab a couple texts here. More. We'll try to get some of these done before we wrap it up and Feinbaum takes over. This texter said, I have a hard time getting excited, even if Trump does win the White House, because Republicans had both the House and Senate during half of his term and did nothing but drag their feet and really didn't get anything done, in my opinion. I think there were some significant things. And first of all, you're seeing the legacy of the Supreme Court. All right. I mean, I think they did get, and I do understand, texture, what you're saying, that it wasn't, it's never going to be everything you want. I mean, this is the checks and balances. You know, the pendulum seems to want to swing even further these days, but it's checks and balances that keeps it from swinging that far. But I think there were definitely some conservative wins during that first term of President Trump. We'll see. I think this verdict is a catalyst to have Trump, which, by the way, he mentioned in that speech earlier. And if you look at the, where's this? I had it up here a second ago. Who was it? It was Daily Mail. Yeah, the Daily Mail poll that had come out. And this is the first polling that I'd seen after last night, right? So, because like this morning, Dan and I were reading polling on independents, how Trump was doing with independents. But that was old. That was in political world. It was old. It was taken. That poll was like May 21st through 23rd. And Daily Mail poll is the first one done. I don't know how big of a sample it was. I don't think it was huge, but it was enough here. I think it's like 500-600 people. So you take that into account. But it showed like a six-point jump here for Trump in the polls. Yeah, we'll have. Tell you what, we'll post this up on the Twitter or the X feed. You can check it out up there. As soon as I get this up, I'll run it over there. You can check it out at FM Talk 106.5. On Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it there. I do want to let's see if we have time to. Yeah, let's go grab a couple more, or at least let's go one more text here. Go to Gene. Gene said, the market is responding positively to the verdicts. Now, so, and correct, the markets are up today, which, by the way, too, did you see that GameStop is back? The GameStop stock is back in motion here. But the Dow is up today, and it is Gene's assertion that it's because they found Trump guilty, right? Am I putting putting text in your texting device? Or is that, that's what it seems to me, Gene, right? You're saying the market's responding positively to the verdict. So you're saying that because they found Trump guilty of the 34 counts, that's why the market's going up. Okay, we'll just play the game here for a second with me. Gene, what if it's the fact that the market goes, they really stepped in it here. The Democrats really stepped in here. They've gone too far. Icarus has flown too close to the sun, and the melting has taken place. And with that, they've all but guaranteed Trump a second term. And the markets are reacting. So just second order, right? Not you're talking first order. I'm talking second order. Maybe they're looking at it. The second order is that Trump's 34 charges all but guarantee him to win in November. And that's why the markets reacted. Well, something to chew on here over the weekend. I'm out of here. Talk to y'all tomorrow for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors and back Monday for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one. Fine. Sir goes, okay, look at that person. They have their phone in their hand, and then they do something else. You know, that would be a secondary. Or if they, I mean, there's no, they don't have the right to, like, take the phone, right, and see if somebody was on it or something like that, or they have to actually witness it with their eyes.
Yeah, they're not going to take your phone. Typically, people are pretty honest. That's what law enforcement told me. So if they suspect that you are doing that, they're going to ask you. If they happen to see your phone, if it's on a mount and there's text messages up that are active, that's enough evidence to give you a ticket. Of course, with any ticket, you can fight it. You can, you know, try to
okay,
get
but
it.
If it's on that mount, right, and there's text messages up, the phone's lit up, but you weren't responding to them. Is it just that it's, because at that point it's hands-free if it's on a mount. If you didn't respond, I guess they, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not trying to parse this, but I am trying to parse this out. What is actually the law?
Yeah, I was trying to do that too and trying to really talk to law enforcement about how in the world are you going to enforce this law? Because it seems like that would be a very difficult thing to do. And that's when the police officer I spoke to said, you know what, usually it's pretty obvious, you know, there's evidence that you have that somebody was texting. But even if not, they're going to typically say, yeah, I picked up my phone. But there are a couple of reasons why you can touch your phone while you're driving. And I thought that was interesting.
Okay, what can you do? Yeah, what are you allowed to do?
Well, you can use your Bluetooth technology, you know, and you would remain hands-free. You won't have it in your hand. You can also answer your call with a single button or the swipe action. So if you get a phone call, you can still answer your phone. You just need to, you don't need to keep your hand in your phone. You need to put it down so you can put it on your Bluetooth and still talk to people.
Okay, so the phone's ringing, and you, whether it's linked in through the vehicle and you touch something on that screen or you touch the phone to answer the call, you're okay at that point.
Yes, and I will say I have a 1997 Honda Accord, and so obviously it doesn't have Bluetooth capabilities. So what I did is I went on Amazon, and I got like a $15 little gadget that you plug into, I don't know what we always called the cigarette lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your radio station on the same frequency as that gadget, and it puts the Bluetooth capability into your older car. So no matter what car you have, you could, if you have a cigarette lighter or an auxiliary cable, you can get those really cheap. So that way you have extra protection. You can still communicate with people while you're driving, although I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it harkens back to, you know, because I'm an old person, as you remind everybody, harkens back to the time when we first got CD players and they were like separate from the vehicle. They had, like, the Sony had a Discman or something like that, and you would have a cord that came out of the Discman that's playing the CD. Now, nobody could even look at the Discman or it would skip, but you had a cord that came out of it, and then into our vehicles we had cassette players, and it was was shaped like a cassette, and you push it in there and had the wire that was connected to the CD player. That was that's how we did that back then.
Yeah, I actually had one of those, and also they have Bluetooth devices that use the cassette player if your vehicle still has a cassette tape player.
If you're that person out there, so it's good news for you. So this is, now, once again, like you did point out, that municipalities have, gosh, I think it's been, whatever, five years ago or something, I first started hearing about municipalities with the hands-free law, but this is now statewide. This law is in effect as of tomorrow.
And even when these municipalities started passing these ordinances, some police officers voiced concerns about how to enforce the law just because it is so difficult. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Really, the purpose of this whole thing is to save lives. There's been an estimated 3,308 people killed in crashes caused by distracted driving. That doesn't always mean you had a phone in your hand. Maybe you were eating your taco going down the road.
Thank you for saying that, because I've pointed that out in the past. That's why I just thought the total law shouldn't have been texting and driving. It should just be distracted driving, because I don't care if you hit me or my family. If you're digging for a French fry that fell under your seat, you're still distracted.
Yes. I mean, I've even had it to where I had to slam on my brakes and my water bottle came out of my cup holder and into the floorboard. And that was very scary, because I was like, well, if it rolls under my brake pedal, I'm not going to be able to brake. So it was an emergency for me to just pull over as quick as I could without letting that water bottle slide under there. But, you know, that's why it's important to think before you go. Before you even crank your car, make sure everything's in place and in a safe area where you can reach the things that you need. And just try to really pay attention, because, you know, if you hit somebody head on because you dropped your phone or something, I mean, you're going to live with that forever. So let's think about other people for a little bit.
100%.
And try to be safe.
One of the stories you posted up earlier this week had so many people chattering just because of the headline or the subject matter. It was like, oh my gosh, it's this, that, or the other. And then you asking the questions and doing the stories at 1819. Explain to people that just heard a headline or a cursory understanding of what happened in Baldwin County with the libraries. Was this, with this firing that went on? Can you give us what's real here?
Yeah, I really did have a lot of comments on this story. People assume that this was because of the situation that's been going on statewide, started in Prattville and moved its way down to Baldwin County to several libraries, but over the inappropriate material in children's and teen sections. But really, the Baldwin County Commission, they sent out an alert earlier this week saying the Baldwin County Library Cooperative laid off or fired every bit of its staff. And so, of course, at first glance, people are thinking that it was over this material issue, because that's been the big talker.
Right.
But according to Commissioner Billy Joe Underwood, that is not the case. This has to do with an organizational issue that they've been working on for a while now. And so we still don't know the details about why these people were fired or why the cooperative made that decision, the board. But Underwood told me that the board just went rogue when they made this decision. They didn't have any conversations with commissioners about what they were going to do or why they were going to do it. But I mean, it is stated it's their that's part of their job is to hire and fire. So I feel like they had every right to make this call. We're just really not sure exactly why.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you fire everybody one time. It's got to be something big, maybe, I guess. You know, that was significant when it came out that there's this mass firing. I said, well, what the heck was going on then?
Yeah, and they have two different departments. They have, like, their finance department, and then they have their administration. So these positions included the library director, the tech services, assistant library director, all the way down to the bookmobile driver. And
yeah, I mean, the bookmobile driver, really, Erica? The bookmobile? I mean, come on.
Yeah, really. I mean, you can't even get the books and the bookmobile going. But Underwood also pointed out, you know, this cooperative is not the library. It's a service that supports libraries within member libraries, you know. So there's all kinds of services that they offer, and that includes when you go online and you search the catalogs. They do all of that. And then they have the courier service where if your book is at the Fairhope Library and you want it brought to the Foley Library, you can go on there and request them to bring it. And they usually do within a day or two, but not right now.
So is there a what's next on this, when we're going to find out more, or is that it? Is that all they're telling?
There's definitely going to be a what's next. The commission staff is working with all the library directors to kind of figure out what to do. They just didn't want a lot of disruption in these joint library services. So they're currently working on that. They're working on a plan. And hopefully they'll have, you know, the staff brought back or new staff hired very soon.
All right. Erica, people want to read more about this. Tell them where to go. Tell them about 1819 News.
Well, I would love for you guys to go to 1819news.com and check out all of our stories. But I have one special story coming out tomorrow with Outdoor Jay, which I heard on the radio. And so we're going to see his story tomorrow.
All right. Dalton, if you're listening, Outdoor Jay is going to make 1819 News. Erica, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There she goes. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Friday style, Midday Mobile. We'll get back to the text messages in a second. Also, John Sharp on the way later on this hour. Right now, my man David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars looking ahead at this weekend. Let's talk inventory.
Hey, bud. Yeah, we've got a great inventory, and we are leaving Monday, going down and seeing if we can buy some more. The last couple of times we went down, we bought 24 one time, 22 the second time. So we'll see how many we bring back this week. Right now, I'm sitting here talking to old buddy of mine from high school, Gary Robinson. He's fixing to buy him a new truck. His wife don't know nothing about it, so we'll see what happens there.
Now you outed him. You know, but somebody's looking for a vehicle specifically. I know you've done this for me before. When you go down, whether you know, you're taking these trips, somebody can call you ahead of time and say, hey, they're looking for a such and such, and you can go scout it for them.
Absolutely. And if you want to do that, it doesn't matter, you know, 24 hours a day, you can text us from our website. We may not answer it 24 hours a day, but I'll at least have that the next morning provided to me. And if you're looking for something in particular, let us know, because we're going to be down there where everything's at. They're all nice. They're all looked at and inspected, and they'll be ready to go when we get them back.
Yeah, y'all, it's pretty cool, because I've done it before with David, and he'd be like, okay, well, here's one here, you know, looking for the truck I end up getting, but one like it. And he said, okay, how about this one? You're like, yeah, no, not this one. What about this one? I mean, you give a selection. I love it, man. It's a great service.
It's easy to do, and we can email you all kinds of little selections if we're not hitting the house. If I'm out of town, I can still email you stuff and you can check it out.
All right, good stuff. Tell people how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Let us know if we can help you. We got pictures of everything on inventory right now, too. We updated all that yesterday.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, you too. There's David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Let's see here. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I missed some... somebody had texted when I was talking to Senator Britt, how does she feel about civil asset forfeiture? Yeah, I don't know how I could, I mean, be frank with you, the senator had some things to say. It's been a while since she's been on the show, so I don't know that I could have even gotten to that. But I like talking about civil asset forfeiture. I mean, I don't like it, so if that tells you where I am on it. Jerry says, we've had private businesses stolen from owners right here along the Mobile River. I would love to hear what Ralph from Starfish and Oyster would have to say about this situation. Oh, yeah, you're talking about comparing what happened in the condemning process, right? The which is another one that's kind of like civil asset forfeiture when you use eminent domain for projects. You know, there are some very narrow places where I agree that you can use eminent domain, but it's not nearly as broad, Jerry, in my opinion, as the government uses it. There's some great, we've talked about the Kelo case and all that before on the show, with Kelo versus New London, Connecticut. That was a heck of a story there as well. But in the case, I've said the whole time of the story from Mexico, they make their own, they're a sovereign nation. They make their own laws. At the same time, I would just use the money we give other countries to get leverage. Just like I said about Israel and Egypt and bringing supplies in, I would say the same thing to Mexico. You want to do this and you want to seize this property for much less than they think it's worth? Well, okay, well, you've got a right to do that. And we also have a right to, you know, not give you money for this or not work with you on this other deal. Let's see here. Senator Britt wants to speak with the manager. Joshua says, you and Erica Thomas make a good DJ duo, just throwing that out there. TGIF, TGIF to you as well. Our friend Jolene from the Jolene Roxbury Hour, you can hear on the weekends here at FM Talk 106.5, is asking a question for a friend. Her friend Earl T, who you hear on the show, wants to know more about these joint library services. Tell Earl T to sit back down and calm himself. I don't know where in the Dewey Decimal System he would find his joint library services. Okay, thank you. Unnamed texter here said, Sean, the Baldwin County story is in Lanyap. I got to go check it out on the website. They did a mass firing because the county was going to be taking over the employees soon and had plans to fire them with no severance. So the board went ahead and fired them so the employees could get severance, and the employees were given a heads up, according to the article. Thank you, texter, for that information. I appreciate that. Because it seemed, it is interesting how we get trained, right? Because if you hear library, you think it's one thing these days. Not in the past, but over the last year or so. It's all since the Prattville Library and the question about materials in the library. So if you heard there's a mass library firing, I don't know what you would have thought or I would have thought, but it wouldn't have been for that, right? It's funny, there's so many things in the news cycle, and then you put two and two together. You make a correlation, and we all do it. It's a human nature, but we do have to fight against that. When you see something, you assume prejudicially that it means this. Sometimes you got to slow yourself down enough to see, you know, what it really means. This texter says, I still have no idea what law Trump broke. Here's what they're saying, you know, I never got a chance really to ask the senator. I know that Congressman Carl this morning talked about two-tier justice, and so did the senator. Here's my interpretation right now of two-tier justice. It's not in the jury proceedings, right? And what the judge did. I mean, you could talk about that, how you don't like that politically. And I can understand that. I think the two tier to me is this person over here is doing this thing and doesn't get prosecuted for it. Heck, they didn't even want to prosecute at first Trump for this until he was running for office. So that's my two tier. It's almost two tier prosecution versus standard of justice. Like when you prosecute one and not the other for something. They said he was guilty for falsifying business records, which a lot of people are saying is something that's going on a lot, and those people aren't getting prosecuted. All right, we're coming back. John Sharp joins us next.